Braylock Episode 1. We're going to title this one, My Body is Ready, because we're all fucking ready for Storm Legion. And I think you guys are too. My name is Intrinsic, and with me today I have Merkel and Rough Raptors. They're, of course, members of No Quarter. In future episodes, I will work to get people from other guilds, casual and hardcore alike, to come and join in the conversation. I just want to include as many people as I can, as long as they're serious about raiding and they're passionate about raiding in Rift. Like I said, my name's Intrinsic. I'm a warrior DPS in No Quarter. And apparently I like to kill tanks doing Melforge. And Merkel is... Can you introduce yourself, Merkel?
Merkel, one of our raid leaders for No Quarter. Prime main healers. Been leading skilled for too long, I think.
Too long. And Rough Raptors. Go ahead, sir.
What's up? I'm Rough Raptors. I'm a tank. I tank shit. I die to Fire Nova and ROTP, and I'm a fucking Rainbow Dwarf.
And yeah, people, if my volume is down, it's because my mic sucks. This is a Razer mic, and it's the last time I buy a Razer product. I will be upgrading to something better that doesn't suck as much. If you have any suggestions, throw them at me. Money is not an issue, so go crazy. Today we have a couple of topics I want to talk about. Some of them recent, some of them not so recent, that will be discussed throughout the following weeks as we get closer to Storm Legion. But the first one I want to talk about is, what have you guys been doing the past 2 weeks since we last recorded that terrible episode zero that shall not be named? What have you guys been doing? Go ahead, Rough.
I've personally been very busy with school, occasionally theory crafting. I've written a guide, if you guys haven't seen it, for level 50 tanks, warriors, of course. And that's actually when I get the time. It's pretty much about it. I've just been raiding and going to school.
Yeah, and I'll try and make a link to that in when I release the the full recording of the episode, because it's pretty good. But someone that might or might not be called Elrar, it's not giving Rough Raptors editing privileges.
Yeah.
So Thorn, we need to get that rectified.
Thorn is working with me to get edit privileges.
Throw him under the bus.
It's not nice. I don't know. Something's apparently wrong. I don't fucking know. He's working with me to get edits out. He's already done one edit for me. I don't plan on modifying it anymore since we only have like 3 more weeks. And once I hit level 60, assuming I actually have the time, I'm going to probably write a level 60 guide with maybe 6 or 7 different specs.
Well, I think LR is just out of energy. Like, he was doing that 24 hours.
Yeah, thing. I'm sure these guys are fucking busy as hell right now with all this shit going on. I mean, they're getting ready for SO launch. They just did all the server transfer consolidation bullshit. I'm pretty sure they've got their hands full with everything else, not to mention all the shenanigans we do on the server or on the forums as is. So
yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they just don't like you, period. What about you, Merkel? What have you been doing?
Large portion has just been theory crafting, kind of figuring out healing specs and stuff for Storm Legion. I mean, really, at this point, who knows what SO knows what Storm Legion rating looks like, but for the rest of us that aren't privy to that information, just kind of trying to get a good range of specs built and theory crafted out for when we get into raiding in dungeons and all that happy shit, so.
Yeah, we're not cool enough to join the cool kids in Storm Legion raid testing, but I mean, we'll get there.
And we're not even cool enough to get people in for fucking normal beta testing during the week.
Yeah, exactly. We got like, what, 4 people, not even a handful?
Yeah. Can't even run a 5-man.
Yeah. Got a puck for that shit. And I've been doing, just trying to get our specs nerfed pretty much. I've been trying very hard, working very hard with Atreus. to get our specs nerfed as hard as possible as a warrior, I feel that mages at range at 35 meters should be able to out DPS us. So I've been, you know, submitting parses and just theory crafting every possible way that we can get Paragon gutted, because it's not right that we're in melee getting hit by shit that range doesn't get hit by, and we're doing way more DPS. So I brought this up to a few devs and a few warriors, and they agreed with me that Paragon should get nerfed as hard as possible. Like, no talent on nerf, no stone unturned. And it looks like today we succeeded. We won that battle. So congratulations to everyone that partook in that testing on beta. We got our class nerfed, and yeah, congratulations. but
you mean balance. Balance is the word you should be using. Nerfed is very frowned upon.
On a serious note, Foon, Domi, Merkel, Bubbles, and I, and Ruff on the ROTP run, we just got bored one day, and we decided to do ROTP 5-man, and then before that we did GSB 5-man, which was that load green scale was probably the most fun I've had in Rift in months. So that's what I've been doing in the past 2 weeks. And I think one of you guys, well, a couple of you guys, two of you, did you both partake in that ROS failure last night?
Yeah, I think it's feasible. I think we just need to set up the comp different.
The comp would need to be very specific.
Yeah, the comp needs to be specific. You need two warriors, basically, in a warlord build, tanking it, and in a max like tank DPS build, and then like a bard healing and buffing the raid, and then two ranged, like two good DPS to do War Master. I think it's feasible, though.
I was probably doing like 1500 DPS as a tank, and that wasn't cutting it.
Well, you had to stop because the warrior threat bug, too.
I had to stop. Yeah, I couldn't attack with aggro because I'd pull off in one attack.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if do you think a bard can actually solo heal that?
Like, yes. Raven? Yes, it was doing it as a fucking Jessica tank. A bard can easily do it right now. They haven't nerfed bard healing at all, so.
That's interesting. That's if that's something I really would like to do. I mean, I know Warlord pretty well. Maybe me and Ruff can get together and with a. Well, we don't even have a full time bard. Is it Aveen now?
Yeah, I think so. Or Barry when he actually comes back full time.
I don't know. I don't really think it's that relevant. We should probably just move on, to be honest.
Yeah, but still, bragging rights, bro. All right, so our next topic. It kind of came up yesterday because of the whole server consolidation thing. I just wanted to talk briefly about now that these quote-unquote consolidations have been announced, other people in other games that play other games that think Rift is a shit game would pretty much look at it like Rift is dying even more, because this is not the first time that these consolidations have happened. What do you guys think that... that this means for Rift, pretty much. And
I personally think it's the first step to this game going free to play. To be honest with you, like, you look how many guilds, how many players we've known, raided with, or just bullshit with on the forums, you know, a competition that have left this game. Like, how many guilds have broken up? Just in ID, major names, Breaking Bad, Maximation, various
Voodoo.
Yeah, quite a few guilds just fell apart. I mean, this is just, I think it's just the first step for this game being consolidated continually. I think they're just saying that, oh, we want to make one large mass server is just an excuse for them knowing that they're losing subscriptions. And
that's exactly what I was thinking. I figured, you know, they said with the client stability, you know, yeah, they might have added a bit, but with the influx of players they're going to get from halving their fucking server selection list,
yep.
I mean... there has to be ulterior motives other than, oh, we have enough, you know, hardware now to support the number of players. No, I highly doubt it. You're just kind of trying to cover it up.
Well, a lot of it is probably them trying to do cost-cutting measures, which cutting down servers, buying better servers, and cutting down. Yeah. It's cheaper in the long run because they don't have to run power and do maintenance as much on as many servers.
Yeah, that's
why. In the long run.
Yeah, in the long run.
Hope it is in the long run, and it stays that way.
I think them, if they really consolidate the servers down into, like, 4 servers at some point, I think it's just going to be a bad move for this game because it takes away your options. Like, guilds like to kind of be on, you know, some of these raiding guilds like to be on low pop servers or kind of be out on their own or have their own little, you know, you're probably going to see, like, guilds, like the top guilds in this game, like, pick their own server and stay there. And they're going to basically own that server as far as shard first and shit like that. And consolidating the servers like that, it's just, I don't know, especially when you're getting ready to release an expansion, like, you're going to have people bumping into each other all over the fucking place, leveling and farming and God knows what. Especially if they do get subscriptions back, like a lot of people, like an influx of player base in this game, like, why would you consolidate right before an expansion when you're going to potentially have 50,000 plus people either coming back or buying your game? And you're just going to, what, really lag out your servers that way? I would have waited till afterwards and consolidated the servers. That way you have a better handle on who's going to be there, how many people you're going to have, that kind of thing.
Well, they might have been doing it before because, and this is just psychologically speaking, I think they're trying to avoid the whole thing about if they did do this after Storm Legion and people that are new to Rift altogether, not just new to Storm Legion, come in and 2 weeks after launches and they got a good picture of population and then they see consolidations, they'll be like, well, this is pretty shitty. Like, this game is dying already. I just got here and most of those people probably haven't bought 6 months or a year worth of time. So it's not like, gotcha, I got your money. It's like, gotcha, not really, because I only paid for a month.
Yeah.
And another thing I wanted to bring up is that I was reading an article about The Elder Scrolls Online, which is an MMO kind of in my radar because it's going to have raiding. They said they're going to have 20-man raiding or some kind of large-scale raiding. And, you know, it's The Elder Scrolls. I've been playing those kind of games for years. They said they're going to have basically one giant server with Guild Wars 2-esque shards within that server. So you can jump between several instances of the same zone, you know. So you don't have to be bouncing around between servers. So it could, in my opinion, it could go either two ways. It could go, well, Rift is dying, and this is like them just trying to make the game feel bigger by making less servers, have more people on each server, or they could really be moving towards technology that allows them to have one giant server for the whole population. So, I mean, in this case, time will tell. We all have our opinions and our theories, but time will tell. But, I mean, depending on your mentality, you might lean one way or another, but I just want to get your opinion on that because it's just something to talk about and something that is, every time this happens, people ask about it. And, why did we choose Lathys as our destination? We are on Lathys now?
The discussion came up when they dropped the bomb, that news 2 days before, you know, they were going to implement it. And we're sitting there trying to figure out, well, where are we going to go as a guild? And, you know, the first people's inclination is, like, go to the lowest population server that's going to happen, which would be, what, Three Springs and Shatterbone? More than likely be the two lowest, which is a good idea, but when you think about it, every other guild's going to take the same route. They're going to go to the lowest pop server. So we figured that we would go to an intermediate server, and one that's got a decent population base already, but you know, isn't high pop, because you know the big servers are going to fill up really quickly, and you also know that like the low small servers are going to fill up, but nobody really goes to the medium pop servers. So we went to Lathys to kind of hope that the population there kind of stays somewhat level, and it appears so far that that appears to be the case because we are on the recommended, so we are one of the lower pop servers now. It looks like everybody kind of took the hint and went to the what were the low pop servers, Shatterbone and Three Springs, and kind of those are now the kind of intermediate medium pop servers. So.
Yeah, and so far I personally haven't experienced any significant lag, and phase two of this world event kind of triggered last night, and I was just sitting by the dummies parsing Warlord pretty much, and like all these giant invasion comes out of nowhere, and there's just like at least 50 people in one little concentrated spot in Sanctum, and I'm thinking to myself like, 3 months ago, this would have been lagging to like four frames per second, pretty much, and it's not lagging a single bit right now. So far, I'm happy. I just hope that tonight actually, when we do ID, it doesn't remind me of back in Fabe Light when we used to have 3 second ability lag, because that would suck.
Well, I mean, the big thing like with No Quarters, like we were originally on Wolfsbane and we left Wolfsbane because of the server lag when they did their first server consolidation, and it lagged the game so bad on Wolfsbane that we just like we couldn't raid. Like we had people getting 3 to 6 second ability lag that have good internet connections, and it was just a horror. And then we have a couple Aussies, which I don't want to know how bad it was for them. And so we moved the Gnarlwood, which was, a low pop, just dead server. And I like being on a low pop server. You have, less people you're bumping into. I mean, really, I don't really associate with people that have the guild anyway, unless I'm recruiting people or fucking telling Ahab he's a fucking moron. But, there's no reason for me anyway, to really associate outside the guild. So like the size of the server doesn't matter. Being on a high pop server really doesn't mean dick to me. So being on a server that doesn't lag is kind of nice. So far for me, like my frame rate is pretty low and my latency is bouncing around quite a bit. I don't know if that's just because my internet's shitty and it's just been doing that or what, but I'm still noticing quite a few green condoms floating up everywhere and that kind of shit. So, other parts of Sanctum, so
you should just stop that uTorrent because I know you're downloading shit.
I don't actually have Torrent.
Okay, actually. Sure.
Dead serious. I screenshot my fucking computer right now.
All right, on to the next topic, which is it's gonna be kind of brief. It's about the class changes. Not really super in depth, but now that they dropped the NDA on everything on the beta related, we can talk about Defiler and Tempest. I have some things to say about Tempest. I know there's not really a new tank soul. I don't know if Ruff has even touched Tempest, but...
I have absolutely nothing to say. I have not been whatsoever. I will remain completely silent unless something catches my attention.
What is... I know, Merkel, you've played around with with Defiler. I haven't played around with it too much. What is the overall basis of the soul, and how do you think we can incorporate it in progression rating?
Well, it's interesting. Defiler has changed quite a bit in the last couple of weeks. Like before, like when you initially got on the beta, it said it was an offensive soul, and it was geared really to being a very high damage. Actually, most DPS builds really synergize well with Defiler. That's the couple of days ago, Zimbic moved a lot of things into Filer around, and he actually changed the label to a healing soul. So it's kind of interesting to see what they're actually going to do with it. I'm not really sure they even really know at this point what they're going to do with the Filer, but the basic premise is that you have links, and links basically work similar to like a warlord's brother in arms, which basically a portion of the damage that a tank tanks is redirected to the cleric. Or a target, whatever, whoever you have your link on. And they have, I think, a total of 5 links, ranging from 5 to 30% damage. You basically take 115% of that damage. When that damage is, obviously, as you spec into the tree, there's things that reduce that damage you're taking. And there's the certain abilities that, like, absorb the damage you're taking and that kind of thing when you do heals. So now it looks really more oriented to a healing soul, maybe kind of akin to a Chloromancer. But a little bit different of a twist. But they haven't really done anything to actually boost its healing through the passive, root ability, yet it still, in a lot of ways, feels like kind of a almost a support build than an actual like healing or DPS soul. So I think we'll really see what they have planned Friday when they do their unveil for Defiler and what Zimbic really has in mind of what he actually wants to do with that specific soul. I think it's going to be interesting. There's quite a few souls that synergize, healing souls and even DPS souls that synergize really well with that build and look to be extremely promising for raid heal, tank healing even builds. So I'm actually kind of excited for Defiler. I really like how it plays for the most part. It's kind of got a new concept on kind of healing, so it's interesting.
That's good, because you know, everyone was getting tired of Purify for shielding, Sentinel for heals, and what is it, Warden for AoE heals now?
Yeah.
But Warden's
fucking amazing, by the way, but that's besides the point.
But for the past, what, I would say for the past year, maybe a little bit less than a year, it's been all about Centaur.
It's been Centaur and 51 Fury. That's it.
Yeah,
like
pretty
I'm it's nice to see a little bit more of a range of healing souls available to us. I think we'll still kind of see some of the same type of, you know, flair. Like, I think Centaur still kind of lives on in Warden in a way. There's a lot of builds that you can do with the, even with the Filer or Jessicar that have the feeling of Centaur's playstyle, but actually almost better. But, I mean, really at this point, it's really speculative on what healing builds are going to be viable in Storm Legion, because we have no idea what the mechanics look like. So we could see the lack of imagination with healing and see the Centaur 2.0 builds just thriving through Storm Legion like they have through Vanilla. Or we can see something completely different with raid healing and tank healing than we have in the past. So who knows? It's really up in the air right now. Just based on Triant's track record, I'm just going to go with that it's just going to be more of the same shit on a large scale. Maybe a twist here or there, but nothing really major.
Yeah, but I don't know how you could redesign healing, because healing's healing. This guy takes damage. You either prevent it or
they can implement some actual mechanics that favor different types of healing styles versus, you know, spam Doctrinal Loyalty and just burst healing, which Dole was really set up well, and healing Ephesian now is really set up well for a lot of those fights. So,
gotcha. And with all these class changes, do you think that it's a positive change for Rift? Like, is Rift moving forward in a good way?
For clerics, I would say yes. I can't really speak on behalf of other classes. I have an Agile, but I don't play it very much, so I can't really speak to other souls. But I think for clerics, it's definitely a lot of these changes were needed. A lot of these things have been needed. They've been neglected for a very long time, and it's nice to see that Zimbic and the other devs have been addressing a lot of the concerns of the community and actually making, you know, more souls viable. Because, like, really, for clerics, I mean, it was Inquisitor, Justicar, Centaur, and 51 Fury. You had four souls, basically, you ran. And now there's a huge range of what you can do with the cleric souls. DPS souls are all looking viable in one manner or another, depending on how this armor and resistance works on boss mechanics. Different specs, I think, are going to outdo others. So I don't think we're really going to see a true top build for, like, every encounter. I think we're going to see certain builds outperform other builds depending on what the fight mechanics are, and I think that's a good change. I hope that they do that with healing as well, that different builds are going to outperform other builds, but who knows.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, because pretty much when Storm Legion comes out, Crucia raid is going to be open right from the beginning, and you're going to have people that have been testing beta. I mean, our guys and other guys and other guilds alike, they're going to have a better idea of what they're going to use. But for most of us, we're still going to be kind of finding our place in the raid, the specs that we like to play, the specs that fit the fights better. So it's going to be really interesting, because you might have a spec that works really well day one of official level 60 raiding, but then without any big changes, people are just going to get more comfortable with their classes. They're going to find other things that work, So whatever works in, you know, day one of level 60 rating, whenever we go into the our first raid, it's going to be completely different from what we're using, I think, you know, a month down the line.
I think it's also going to be a lot different to when looking at those of us who played at game launch. Just like, you're not going to have a lot of, you have guilds that are established, you have people that can work together to figure out specs. So, you know, before it was everybody was just kind of trying to build a guild, you know, unless they actually came here from another game with a guild. Like for me, like, I was displaced for probably the first month of this game before I actually started raiding, and just kind of trying to find a guild, people to play with, that kind of stuff. And I'm sure that's the same for a lot of people. And we're not going to see that going into Storm Legion. So a lot of these guilds are going to have people to fall back on. The community is a little bit more well established. People are willing to work together for the most part on releasing guides and specs and that kind of thing. I know myself and Bubble have a plan of writing quite a few cleric, at least healing guides. I don't know. I haven't actually really looked at cleric DPS at all. I know Bubbles has been really highly into that. I'm not sure if he's writing guides or not. That's,
you mean to tell
in his court.
Merkel, you mean to tell me you're going to try and encroach on Ahav's territory?
Yes.
How dare you, sir?
You know what? Fuck him. He already stated that he's not going to be writing guides. More than likely, Addiction is telling him that they don't want to release specs because, frankly, his ego is too fucking big for him to, like, not write a guide unless someone's holding him back, so.
Yeah, I wonder how much they have him by the balls. But
the fact that that's the only raiding guild that'll probably take him at this point, probably quite a bit.
And I'll say my piece about the Tempest real quick. Tempest is interesting. It doesn't have a lot of sustained DPS from what I've been testing. It has really good burst DPS. And that's the only thing that keeps it afloat, to be honest. There's an ability called Arc, which functions sort of like Shifting Blades in Paragon. And back when I wrote my first guide, it was pretty much based around Shifting Blades and the burst DPS that gave that build. And that build was pretty much 100% linked, built around that burst DPS. So it's going to be interesting because when I was on beta a day ago, and this is after the beta changes to Paragon that went live today, my Tempest was parsing right around the same as Paragon from 35 meters. And it's going to be interesting how that plays out to level 60, because it would be really crappy if at level 60 Paragon's doing, let's say, 10,000 DPS. I'll just pick a number. And Tempest is doing 8,000. And I'm guessing the difference between 10,000 and 8,000 is going to be the difference, like, right now if you're parsing 4,000 or 3,600 or so. If they scale like that, I mean, I doubt that they'll scale that linearly, but if they do scale like that, you'll see a lot of warriors playing Tempest. It's a way easier spec to play. You don't have to deal with melee mechanics, and you get good burst. And you get some pretty cool cooldowns, too. Alright, so on to the next topic, and this is going to be the meat and potatoes of this episode. It's going to be 100% about raiding. And this topic is basically going to be about Storm Legion raiding, what we know right now, how we think, we'll talk about how we think it'll play out, given that you'll have at least one raid open day one of raiding. And we know this because last Tuesday or Friday, Trine had a live stream, and they were talking about
this Friday.
Yeah, they were going over a dungeon, right? The Exodus.
Weren't they going over the Sliver, the personal housing shit?
No, it was before that one. Decoy was. They were going over the dungeon Exodus of the Storm Queen.
Oh, okay.
And Decoy was there, our friend Adam Hattaney. And he let a couple of things go loose about raiding in Storm Legion. The one big thing is that the Crucia raid will be open day one, which is, I find that interesting because the expansion is basically themed around the Storm Legion derp, and the queen, I guess, the ruler of the plane of airs, Crucia. So it doesn't make sense that she's going to be the first boss we get to defeat. If we even get to defeat her, we might just weaken her or something. Some people have been theorizing that we don't get to kill her, that she'll, like, merge with Regulos. I've seen some other theories where Krusha will escape, and she'll really be the baddie with, like, superpowers at the end of some other unknown tier. But either way, we get to hit that dungeon first, that raid first. And it's pretty much going to be, like Bubbles said in our forums, it's going to be a race of who can poop sock and who can pee bottle the hardest to race to level 60 and get a whole raid of 20 people geared out. I think that's how the first one's going to play out. Now, the second one, obviously, is going to be Regulos. They're going to share a tier. So tier one of Storm Legion, it's going to be Krusha and Regulos. Just like Decoy said, it's going to be like Lord Greenscale. And then ROS came out a little bit later. You needed some gear from Greenscale to actually compete in ROS. That's how this tier is going to play out. So whether we kill or weaken Regulos in that tier is going to be something we find out in time. But how do you think No Quarter? I mean, we're pretty hard. We got some guys that are super hardcore that can spend, you know, a whole day if they wanted to playing this game. But some other people have jobs and families. Some other people are raid loggers for now. Who knows if they'll come out of that once we got new content. How do you think that's going to play out with everything releasing on day one? Do you think people are going to be more hardcore? They're going to go after the gear harder, etc.?
You know, that's interesting. For me, it'll probably be going hard. I'm sure for a lot of people in this guild, probably be going hard, trying to push as much content. But, like, we've already seen that, like, with our guild and even other guilds that we've talked to, you know, people who have friends and stuff, there's a lot of people who have... This is a bad time of year for a game launch. And they even really try to do progression rating because you have so many holidays, you have so much shit going on in people's lives. It's a busy time of year for everything. So I think that we're going to see a lot of people that, you know, who usually are hardcore people really get hit by real life. And, you know, we're going to be competitive and we'll probably be a top guild, if not the top North American guild, as we always have been in during ID progression. But, you know, we're not going to probably see the same level of hardcoreness that we did before, just because people are going to be affected by real life. So we're going to see maybe different people step up the plate than we haven't seen really do so before. And have kind of other people kind of step back a little bit, I think. But anything at this point is really speculative. Who knows?
You going to personally go after it?
Level, dungeon, I mean, try to get geared up as quickly as I can, at least to a level that we can start even stepping in. If we have to do what we did when this guild first started raiding and step in with, you know, GSB with 16 people and fucking blues, and just see if we can do it. Because, I mean, they've already stated that the raid content is supposed to be easier. And this is the first dungeon, so I'm assuming this first dungeon isn't going to be that hard. It's going to be probably Greenscale or ROS equivalent raid.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm
making an assumption, like, but they're supposed to put in more hard modes. So as far as clearing out the dungeon, I don't see that taking that long. I honestly don't really see that. You're going to see a lot of, you know, guilds like us, Addiction, SO, what, Trinity, you know, like, they're going to clear it probably within the first 2 days, assuming there isn't like a gating mechanic there. And then it's really going to be to see who can clear hard modes the fastest. It's really going to be more of the test of which guilds really have, you know, are the best guild.
That's one thing. Yeah, that's one thing I forgot to bring up, was that when the Tempest unveil happened, I think it was Zizix from Terrible Idea. We were in Mumble talking. And Decoy was in...
Zizix is a failure.
Decoy was in the chat and he pretty much let loose that they are going to have an easier content with more hard modes. Now, how you track that, if someone comes up with a new Rift Ranks or whatever, how you track that, I have no idea. But like we see in WoW, you have no-name guilds that no one cares about clear out the easier content really quick. But then you see when the hard modes come out, that's when you see the real guilds come out and play and you know, claim their spot as best in the world, whatever. So if they have a good amount of hard modes, I could see people claiming that as the new pedestal of raiding. But if there's like maybe one or two, like when Maklamos came out, I know No Quarter, like when we knew it was hard mode, we didn't give a shit about it until like the third week. We didn't even try it. And like Parabellum did it pretty quick. And other guilds did it quicker than us. But honestly, no one really cared about it because no one considered it to be that what everyone should be aiming for. But if there's, let's say there's four bosses in Krusha and you have three of them with hard modes, then yeah, everyone's going to be like, okay, you beat regular mode. Show me the hard mode kill. That's what the real guilds are doing. And do you have anything to say about that, Ruff?
It depends. How far into that do you want me to delve, or are we saving that for the last topic of how we think SL is going to pan out?
Just go into it and just see where it goes, I guess.
Alright, well, here's where all the butthurt and flaming is gonna come from. I'm gonna get trolled to shit for this. I don't fucking care. Basically, the way I see it is SO has every fucking advantage in the world. I proclaim you guys victors of Storm Legion. Congratulations on every single world first that you get. North America is kind of fucked. We are very busy. As a guild, we are very busy. I'm personally very busy around this time. I don't even know how much time I can personally put into the game when it's released, just due to school. I mean, we haven't tested anything. They've been testing for who knows how many months. I don't know if this is true or not. This is speculation. Could just be possible trolling. I've heard they've all taken time off work. You know, most of us don't have the luxury to do that. I obviously can't take time off school as well as others. And yeah, right, I mean,
1 second. Let me just put on the brakes real quick. And I just want to, like, I don't know about if they've taken time off of work or if they have, like, KFC buckets or whatever. That's all speculation. What I do care about is the facts are that NDA is lifted. I can talk about this shit. They have more than enough people ready, level 60, on beta. And we have, like, five. And I know there's some other guilds here or there, but not really to the extent that SO is. Like, SO is a world-class guild, pretty much. If they have 20 people level 60 on beta, there's no way, especially when Tryon has said over and over again that they will not stop using Rift guilds to test their content, there's no way that they would exclude one of the best guilds in the world out of testing their content. And it doesn't matter how much people try and deny it, that gives you a huge advantage. And especially coming from the whole world first Melforge debacle, they're motivated. I'm motivated too, to prove that we're not fakes, but I think they're twice as motivated to prove that they can also get world first. And with all these advantages, they're going to take advantage of whatever they're given by Tryon. And yeah, go ahead. Sorry, I just wanted to say that.
No, it's okay. I was just going to say, I mean, I agree with you pretty much completely. I actually kind of forgot what I was going to say, so I'm a fucking moron.
We already knew that.
Anyway.
I was going to respond to something you said in particular, and then I forgot.
So this is the count that some of us kind of put together running around during this last beta weekend. You have 17 level 60s from Special Olympics, 6 from Parabellum, 8 from Lucidium, 5 from Fires of Heaven, 6 from Trinity, 4 from No Quarter, 9 from Exposure, 6 from Addiction, One from Betrayal. I have no idea who that is. Six from Realm Guardians. I have no idea who these guys are. And just a various other slew of guilds that have probably between four and six people. So you can obviously kind of see where the spectrum kind of lies in level 60s on testing. And that's very heavily with Special Olympics. And this is from the first beta weekend. This isn't from just this week. This is from the first beta weekend. And I've heard rumors that this has been even far before the beta weekends even started. So they've had a significant amount of people testing at level 60 for quite a while. So, I mean, this gives them a massive advantage over any other guild. Because they've had so many people, and more than likely, with that many people, you can kind of infer that they've probably been testing the 20-mans extensively for quite a while. So, as far as Rough Raptor says, he's probably right. They'll probably get every world first because they've seen every single fight and every single mechanic. I've heard people glimpse in 50 chat and several of the other things on the beta that they've seen every fight, that every fight is bug-free, or however, I don't know if they're trolling, there could be no validity to anything that they're saying, but then again, they could very well be testing to a massive extent.
With Cookie in their guild, it could be trolling, it could be 100% truth, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly, but it kind of goes a contradiction with the conversations I've had with Adam Gershwitz and Hitani as well through via emails, trying to get more of our people into beta to test things. And he said, I'll straight up quote, that they don't want to play favoritisms. They don't want to, show that, try to unbalance. They want to keep things to about less than eight people per guild in the beta. Yet you can clearly see they're playing favorites with Special Olympics having 17 plus people in the beta or alpha or however you want to. We'll just denote it as alpha since it's the full time beta, basically.
Yeah, this can turn into a super long discussion about like the finer points of certain things. But Tryon decided to go after a certain guild to test their content. Back in the day, it used to be Voodoo and Maximation and probably Special Olympics too. Maximation and Voodoo aren't here anymore. But why not, if anyone from Tryon ever hears this, why not just give everyone a fair shot at testing this stuff? Why limit yourself to one good guild and a bunch of other scrub guilds that are just going to wipe to your content over and over again? If you really want to play fairly, why not just open up beta to every guild? That's the same thing that Blizzard did. And I mean, even though most of the progression is already done on beta beforehand and you already know the tactics by the time it comes live, it makes it fair. And
that's what matters.
And yeah,
I'm watching your stream right now. We have Cookie saying that, oh yeah, we have more than 17. Yeah, this 17 is what we counted at any given time during beta. Obviously, we know that you have more people. But back to what Insurance is saying is having it open is definitely the way to go. I think that was a really good move when Blizzard did that. It's fair. Not just that, like guilds like ours, like high end rating guilds, like they clear content so fast. They have nothing to fucking do after they kill, clear a dungeon. So, like, having guilds like that go in and test, because they're gonna find the bugs first. They're gonna be the first guilds to kind of push through those mechanics anyway. Having a higher level or higher amount of guilds that will see that content early on and give you feedback that can fix bugs quicker, it is just a better way to go. Like, just having one guild do all your testing is just not the way to do it, because other guilds do fights differently. We do fights differently than probably every other guild that I've watched videos for. And we've had people come in from other guilds and they're completely confused how we do strats. So it's, I think having a bigger range of people to test from is a better way to test their fights. So
yeah, I was definitely just going to comment on what you said. Definitely from experience, guilds do different things. Have, considering I was in Breaking Bad first, we tested quite a bit of ID. But actually made it that far. We broke up before we actually got to that content. The stuff we did is so much different. And then Intrinsic and I joined Sinfield Afterlife, and the way they did stuff was just so much different. And then we joined No Quarter, and it's all so much different. If they would just allow that variety of testing, so much more shit would be found.
Exactly. And let me ask you, let me piggyback into that. When you guys were testing, I don't know if it's still covered under NDA, but when you guys were testing, did you find out that when stuff hit live, did that give you an advantage, like any advantage whatsoever?
Well, as I said, we broke up before we actually got to the main stuff we tested.
Oh, I see.
I honestly don't know if I'm under NDA, but I honestly don't think they care. So, we tested Warboss Drac. That was an amazing fight when we tested it. We tested it really early on. They had a ton more mechanics in that fight. It was a lot harder. And as I said, as variety, you're doing it wrong. That was named after our guild because we were retarded and trying to AoE all of the adds. And we actually did it successfully and got to Drac AoEing all of the adds. And the dev said that shouldn't even be possible, which we found quite funny. Yet we still did it. And then we tested Ruzla. We kind of just gave him feedback, like the hatches didn't used to be destroyable. We said that's kind of stupid, and they took our word for that and fixed that, and then the rest of the stuff was just on broken phase one male forge and eggs.
Yeah, but when, because the way it sounds like to me is that they had different guilds test different parts of the encounters, and they Correct. All provided unique feedback based on how they did things. So they could see, okay, Breaking Bad is going to do this part this way, Maximation is going to do it this way, SO is going to do it this way. So they can take all that feedback instead of just SO is going to do Crucial this way, SO is going to do Crucial this way, Exposure is going to do Crucial this way. SO is obviously a better guild. So they're going to balance everything about around that. And I would have to say, there's not even five guilds I would consider world class in Rift right now, which is way down from back when HK opened. So there's not really much to draw from. You have Trine has to take advantage of everyone in their game right now, whether it's a super casual guild or a super hardcore guild. And I know people are going to say, oh, NQ's butthurt, blah, 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 this and that. We're competitors, period. If someone's given an advantage over you and you're trying to be competitive, and this is all for bragging rights, no one gets any money out of it, no one gets any prizes out of it. We all just get bragging rights. But the bragging right that you did it first before anyone, fairly and squarely, in Storm Legion, and we're going to take the whole past away from this, from Storm Legion on, that's going to be huge. If people know that the race was not fair, that not everyone started on the same footing, that's going to kind of suck. And that's all I'm trying to get to. And yeah, in the future, I'll try and get someone from SO that's not frothing out the fucking mouth to say their piece, but it doesn't look like they have many of those that are vocal.
I'd recommend a couple.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll look into that for the next episode, which should be, I'm going to look at my calendar here, it should be on the 7th of November. We'll try and get someone. I want to try and get someone from like Trinity and someone from SO or something like that. So, Ruff, Merkel, do you guys have anything to say before we close that topic and move to the last part of that topic?
Yeah.
We all agree everything should be as equal as possible because we're all competitors and we all want the same shot. And this is from Storm Legion. People are going to say, oh, well, you guys, some people in NQ did this and that on World First Mail Forge. Let's forget that.
So did other guilds in other in HK. I mean, Jesus, I'm not even getting that fucking mess.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I will. If I have to, I paraphrase. Someone at Tryon told me that they had looked at other people's parses, and they can't tell us, you know, by law or whatever, that they're whether they're taking action on things. But they basically wanted to cut it right there. Like, we're going to do this to you guys, and that's it. Like, we would like you guys to move on. And we moved on for the most part. It's just that for the future, we wanted to be as far as possible. Yeah, of course.
That seems to be the major issue. We've moved on. No one else has. And I think people just need to fucking drop it.
I mean, we didn't care to begin with, so that's the thing.
Not really.
Regardless, well, anyway, going to the last question.
I did a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah, let's just, for the next episode, and this is something I wanted to do. I mean, this is not coming up now. For this next episode, I want to try and get someone from Trinity and Esso, or at least Esso. I mean, I know Ruff has friends in Esso, so we can get someone in here that will keep their fucking cool and not be like, I mean, you can say words like fuck and shit and cunt, but just, you know, say your piece. And don't break NDA, because we don't want you to get fucked up. Anyways, so the last part of that question of this topic is going to be, let's pretend that, one sec. Let's pretend that Krusha and Regulus are dead by the time that, you know, if they say Regulus is going to be released a month and a half or so after Krusha, then you literally have a tier dead and conquered within 3 months of Storm Legion, which is pretty short. I mean, they have to pretty much give you a year's worth of content. Let's pretend that Krusha and Regulus are dead. Where do you think they'll take us next? And this is just if Krusha and Regulus are dead. Do you think we'll go to the plains? Do you think that, like, Tryon will build more lore during this time that will take us into another part of the lore? Because then technically the Bloodstorm will be dead and all will be saved. But we don't want to live in a world, in a Talara, where there's nothing to fight for. We got to defend ourselves from something, so what do you think will be next after Krusha and Regulus? You go first, Merkel.
You know, there's a lot of things they can build off in the lore already with some of the newer cities that they can implement, some enemies there. I don't really know, to be honest with you. Like, I mean, I've gone through the leveling process and most part and seen a lot of the quest storyline and kind of big in the lore and that kind of shit. So I haven't really seen anything that would really hint yet at, like, something other than Krusha and Regulus. They kind of, like, I could see them maybe playing on the factions, but, like, they kind of killed that with allowing guilds to have Defiant and Guardian players in them. So I don't really know, to be honest with you. It's really speculative at this point. Me personally, I don't see this game making it to another expansion, but this is my personal opinion.
What about you, Ruff?
Yeah, I gotta be honest, I did not pay attention whatsoever to the story. I probably can't add anything to this conversation whatsoever.
Alright, I'll sum it up for you. There's a Bloodstorm. There's these dragons with sparkly tails that fly through space, destroying worlds. They came to Talara, and they started eating people, and some kind of god beings were like, hey, listen, you six guys, you don't belong here. So they fought them off, erected this thing called the Ward, which is basically a giant force field from Star Wars, and it's been deteriorating. So they've been, you know, coming back up. We've been digging them up, like their cults have been finding their prisons and freeing them, and they've been fucking shit up, so we put them down. And Krusha apparently has, like, she's had this grand plan to resurrect the Infinity Gate so she can open a portal to the Plane of Air and bring over all these, like, basically the baddest badasses that the Plane of Air has. And Regulus has the key to make the Infinity Gate work, so Krusha needs the key, Regulus has the key, Regulus wants to control everybody, so does Krusha, so yeah, like, if she gets the key, she'll get to fuck things up, so we gotta stop her. And if he gets to destroy Krusha and gets the key to the Infinity Gate, then he can open even a bigger kind of whoop-ass on Talar. So if we destroy them, that's all averted. Crisis averted. We win. We have a big celebration. But then we have the Infinity Gate with the key. And the Infinity Gate can take us to the planes and space and other planets and maybe find out where E.T. lives. So
yeah, I could see them doing like that could be, they could do a Planes of Power EQ knockoff, I guess.
We could, you know, maybe go to different planes, maybe explore past Talara, maybe go to the origins of the dragons themselves, go to the origins of, you know, whoever you were talking about that fucked up the six dragons and put them, you know, whatever the hell you said, you know what I mean, that God, you know, maybe we could explore the lore behind that more, find out where he's from, possibly go there, who knows.
Here's, and that's good, because I never thought about exploring the origin of the Bloodstorm. There's some kind of lore that I read a long time ago that said that the dragons that are, as we see them on Talara, are just aspects. So their real forms might be somewhere in the planes. And this is, I mean, this is going back a year ago. I speculated that after we defeat the aspects, we would go to the planes or even the nexus of the planes where they all meet, and we would kind of form an offensive and go after not each one of them individually, because that would be, okay, now you're tacking on another 1.5 years of content going after the same damn dragons, so just look different. That would be kind of boring. Maybe having, you know, a giant multi-phase fight against them, but you still need content after that. You still need content, raiding content, because Rift is heavily invested into raiding and PvE content. As much as they want to say that their theme park where PvP and PvE is equal, the quality of the PvE is far superior to the quality of the PvP, even though they're getting better at PvP. But we still need content after that, so I don't know. I didn't know you guys had such little imagination or were so pessimistic about the future of Rift. This is actually something I've talked about a lot more.
I've never given it a second thought. I just kind of go along with what's given to me and don't have much time to think about it. Is that all the topics we had?
I can't for this week,
quite
yeah.
remember off the top of my head. I'd go look, but my computer's being really retarded. I saw a bunch of people in both of our chats. I have them. I keep minimizing, bitching at us and asking us random questions. If you guys wanted to, maybe we could answer a couple of them, because people were asking some. I saw one legitimate question. There's probably more if you guys thought that might be a good idea.
Well, all the questions in my chat are basically ScarJ, calling out stackers, this and that, Cookie talking nonsense, Bayona telling us to QQ more. So I don't really see questions here. So if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. Because we're only at, like, the show at this point will only be like 45 minutes long, so we can do that.
I'm trying to find the comment that I found that was a question that I thought was decent.
A comment? That's a question. Ooh, interesting.
You know what I mean.
Ooh, apparently someone said that No Remorse killed Etuzial before No Quarter. Damn. That really puts
no remorse.
That really puts a wrench in our plans. They're one of my friends is in that guild. They're from like Greybriar or something. They're just one of those, I would say, like mid-tier guilds that killed Melforge within a decent amount of time.
I'm not seeing any questions coming up, so unless
okay. Sorry, go ahead.
No, unless you find it soon, then you probably just call it.
I just saw it. It was the one thing that stood out. It was from Dayu. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. He said, why do you want testing to be fair now and didn't in the past? That is not true at all. I believe that ID testing was horribly biased and was not fair whatsoever to the general public. There were 3 or 4 main guilds that got to test, and that was Voodoo, Maximation, Breaking Bads, and SO. I guess Addiction, probably. I don't know you know, all the details, but we definitely had a clear advantage over everyone else. I particularly stated I did not agree with that, even though it was in my personal, you know, interest and my guild's interest for us to be testing and no one else to. I still didn't agree with it. So saying why we wanted to be fair now and not in the past is not true whatsoever.
Well, this is also Dayu. I see that question in my chat room too. I thought it was more trollish than an actual question, but I'll take it serious for a second. I've been in No Quarter for about 3 months. I have no idea what No Quarter's mission statement with raiding was, raid testing was before. I know that their signature on the forums was no beta, so I'm assuming that they just chose not to beta and were never invited.
No, we never got invited to beta. We still haven't been really invited to beta. So
yeah, like I personally when ID testing opened up, I was in a guild called Kinetic, and I know you guys are gonna bust my balls because I keep mentioning it. But I remember they had a thread on the forums talking about asking people to submit, and you had to meet these, you know, these bullet points. You had to meet these criteria. Basically, one of them was like 11 out of 11 HK, blah blah blah. At that point, we were still progressing on Achilleo, so we couldn't really, you know, sending in that, but it's at that point I thought they were going to turn a corner and start more broad testing. At that point, I honestly thought they were going to start opening up beta to all guilds to test raids. That's what I thought was going to happen. Obviously, it didn't turn out that way because not everyone is testing raids right now. But they could learn from this. Who knows? I mean, we can speculate all day. I just want Storm Legion to get here.
Okay, one comment from Ahav. This is actually like three comments. Ahav saying, as much as it's Ahav, he said, testing is a disadvantage, and he's given examples of Atuziel and how they had like a whole strat written up, and then the fight got changed. Regardless of them having a strat and the fight being changed, they still know some of the mechanics of the fight, which will give them a head start. We were talking about this before the stream started, but like Breaking Bad, for example, when we got to Atuziel, we probably spent 2 hours trying to figure out the tank slot because we just had both tanks in range. And if we actually knew about that, we definitely would have gotten more than like our top 15 kill or whatever the hell we got. We would have killed it on day one instead of spending, you know, 2 or 3 hours learning the mechanics. We would have already known it. So no, testing is not a disadvantage in any way possible.
Yeah, Dayu, I do agree that testing with a small group, like you know, like one or two guilds, is better because you can get more concentrated feedback, I would guess, especially with a small team like a small dev team like Tryon has. But they've since upgraded, you know, the quality and the size of their test team, of their dev team. I've seen new developers pop in and out all the time that have, you know, that raids and dungeons tag under them. So they definitely have the resources to upgrade. And if they have their little tentacles into a lot of data that comes off of servers like they say they do, like they told us they could, that they went back and quote-unquote looked at parses from Melforge. But while we were progressing on Melforge, they couldn't look at that stuff. If that's true, then they should be able to look at parses and look at data from every guild testing at the same time and basically choose a few guilds to get feedback from directly by going into their instance IDs while testing is happening. They don't have to be with everyone at the same time holding their hand while they're testing a raid. They can get data, which helps
them.
Apparently,
they have the ability to watch, like, guilds raid while they're actually like on live. So Ahav says. I don't believe anything that comes out of that fucking dipshit's mouth. But
there's a special command that they have. We've had devs zone into our instance mid like ID when I was in Breaking Bad. We had Adam himself zone into our instance. like, I think it was day one of ID. He zoned Endor instance. So, yes, they can.
Well, apparently we had them watching our raid. I don't know if there's any actual truth to this, because he didn't actually say anything to us if he was, but, I mean, they could have very easily known. They can do this, they can go back and watch. I mean, hell, they can have guilds stream for them. And there's all kinds of shit they can do. That they can incorporate a broader group of people and get more meaningful information than just having, you know, one guild test everything, or have two guild, or, you know, just a small handful of guilds. You know, they can get a larger group of people in. They can see how, you know, the fight, because, I mean, different guilds have seen different bugs. Like, there's different bugs that we've encountered that other guilds didn't see, or, you know, that only a small handful of guilds saw. So, it's the way that you set the fight up differently. I mean, there's all kinds of shit that can happen. So, I don't know, them just having, like, one guild test is fucking retarded. But then again, at the rate this game seems to be, just the rate, at least the high-end rating community seems to be declining, you know, they may just decide to go with small groups from the time, from this time forward, so.
Do we have any more questions from your chat, which I can't see?
Let me check. Not that I see, unless anyone sees anything. And no, Biona, we're not really butthurt per se. We're just saying that it's not fair. I mean, the way I see it, you guys win Storm Legion. Congratulations. We're now competing against North America. You are eliminated from the race. We don't care. So, if that answers anything, that is my personal opinion on the matter.
Any
hate, 17 plus comment?
Any hate mail you can send to roughraptors@aol.com. I am not shitting you. That's his email. He has an AOL email.
That is not my email.
But he does have an AOL email.
I do have a fucking AOL email, which I am embarrassed to say.
He still has fucking AOL installed on his computer. It says, like, you got mail when he logs on. Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if you actually do have that installed. Oh. You have a...
I don't.
You need to upgrade your 6,000 free hours disk. All right, so I guess that's going to be a wrap for everyone. We spoke about everything I wanted to speak and then some. Man,
yeah,
it seems
that's about it. I don't really see any other questions aside from just plain trolling.
Yeah. And for the episode on that we're gonna record on the 7th, I'm gonna post something on the Rift forums trying to see if someone from either of those two guilds bites and wants to come have a chat. We'll have different topics, and we'll talk about some of the stuff we talked about today. And that'll
also, if you have any input that you want to put in on, like, what you want the show to kind of go through, talk about, things you want to touch on, message Intrinsic on the forums or on the threads that he has up. I'm sure we're more than happy to incorporate things in, questions that are asked, that kind of thing, so...
Yeah, this is for Biona because he keeps repeating himself. He says, these geniuses say Special Olympics are Tryon's favorites because we have more than 17 testers. How else would any guild test raids with less than 17 members? I don't really understand how that's relevant. I mean, it's obvious you need 20. Merkel was just stating that because that's who we saw online. It was more of the fact that they're only letting a very, very small amount of guilds in as opposed to... You know, I guess what they did for ID, which still wasn't fair, but it at least kind of narrowed the gap between the top competing guilds. I mean, the casual guilds had no chance. They got fucked.
Well, this is also, too, like, we emailed Tryon and had conversations with some of their developers, and this is, basically, they said that we're limiting the number of people we're having to this many people, and then we're on their... Literally 2 days after saying that, oh, we're only going to have 6 people from each guild at this point, and we haven't started raid testing, and we see 17 people literally a day later online from your guild. Like, they're basically blatantly lying or playing favorites. That's what we're trying to get at.
as being hypocritical.
Okay, and Cookie, what you're saying is that you're legit and you're going to post every single strat, regardless of the strat being posted or not, and us knowing
I don't think
the mechanics.
He's going to do that.
And knowing, well, I'm just saying, even if they do, he's probably trolling, even though he's saying it's legit. Even if
he's
they do
trolling
it,
the fuck out of you.
Probably. I'm just making a comment. If they do post it, there is still a very distinct difference between knowing the mechanics ahead of time and actually have already performed the mechanics.
I think Cookie's like the only one I get along with in SO, and I know he's trolling you.
Well, then I just got trolled, so.
You've got trolled, you got trolled.
Anyway.
Alright, so yeah, like Merkel said, if you have any comments, of course, if it's super negative and you're just calling me an asshole, I'll probably just ignore it. But if you have any comments about stuff we should talk about next week, I know my volume is very low. That's a limitation of my microphone because it literally doesn't have a mic boost option. I'll get a new one. I used to have a Creative something one that was really, really good. Just email me at PM me on the forums. If you don't use the forums, just email me at raidlockrift@gmail.com. Once I get this update uploaded, you can go to I'll post a link to the Blogspot where you can look at the link if you want to listen to it later or you want to dissect it. And I'm gonna try and get our guild leader Steinbrenner, who has exquisite stories that he tells during raid. See if he can come and record something for me, because those crack us up every single time he tells them.
If this is any incentive to come in next time for a Stein story, let's just say that one of them we heard a while ago involved Ninja Turtles and dicks. So there you go.
Yeah, they're of the utmost privilege to the ears. That didn't make sense, but it's really good. So until next time, which is the next recording is going to be on the 7th. Yeah, just send all hate mail to Rough Raptors. Thank you.